Get ready to dive into the whirlwind world of America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Join us on the podcast, Taylor Swift Today, for your dose of all things Tay-Tay. From all the scoop on her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department, to the latest gossip, tours, and more, it's time to shake off the haters and embrace the enchanting universe of Taylor Swift. Follow Taylor Swift Today, your ultimate Swift-obsessed podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah Palin revealed that she and several members of her family had been stricken with the coronavirus. She told People magazine, through it all, I view wearing that cumbersome mask indoors in a crowd as not only allowing the newfound luxury of being incognito, but trust me, it's better than doing nothing to slow the spread. Jimmy Kimmel said, I love these people who only believe in science when it happens to them. It's like saying, now that I've been mauled by a bear personally, I realize their claws and teeth are very sharp. Conan O'Brien tweeted, I get awkward anytime I see a French person because I know we never sent a thank you card for the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, I'm just out of late night jokes. Everybody was off last week. It'll be good to have everyone back. But we have a new late night show, and the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. This from Deadline. Fox News has a new show that premiered last night. It's called Gutfeld, which I'm telling you right now, I'm going to call Gutfield until I retrain my brain. But Gutfeld will air at 11 o'clock and take a Fox News point of view to late night shows. Gutfeld said, did I say Gutfield already once? I probably did. I'm leaving it in. Gutfeld said, I don't really think about those shows that much, meaning Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel or the others, because anything I could predict, I lose interest in. So I already kind of know that they share the same assumptions. In a way, they're there to please their peers and not necessarily audience, which they cannibalize. Oh, Mr. Gutfeld, see, I almost did it again. I'm leaving it in. Mr. Gutfeld, learn from George Lopez. When George Lopez had his late night show, he came out and talked a lot of trash, and his late night show did not work. So, Mr. Gutfeld, don't take a shot yet at Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel Live. Let's get two shows in before we start doing that. Gutfeld said, I almost did it again, they're adding a handful of more writers, and he plans to add more tape segments, which could make for a faster pace. The show will have a studio audience and, quote, more experimentation. They'll get beyond politics and other topics. Gutfeld says it could be looser because you have five opportunities a week, 25 segments to try something. That's exciting. That's where you start chipping away at traditional conventional assumptions, traditional conventional talk shows. John Max is a comedy writer who authored a monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. John Max says it'll be interesting to see a late night show that leans to the right but does not topple over to the right. But it has to have a focus on having more of an entertainment edge, being just plain funny. The question to me becomes, what does this provide that's not already there? If it's just political commentary with humor, I don't know if that's enough. Is it a funny show with a little politics? That could work. Dave Berg was co-producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He said, Gutfeld has an area that no one else is touching. He's just not a political commentator. He understands humor. He understands satire. He understands a good joke and how it works. But what about booking guests? That's going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. It's still going to be hard to attract them because Fox News doesn't fly well in Hollywood. Gutfeld said the most interesting people aren't on television. They show up in these podcasts where they're allowed to speak freely. And I think that is kind of the direction we might be going in terms of guests. Again, I'm in favor of this show. If you guys can come up with 10 killer Joe Biden jokes every night, happy to share them with the audience. The more the merrier, especially if you can go back in time and launch this thing last week when nobody was doing shows and I had to pull teeth to put together podcasts. That'd be great. From the Laugh Button, they caught up with Nate Bergazzi, who said, you're from Tennessee, but wasn't Chicago where you got your start in comedy? Nate said, yeah, I love Chicago. I moved there from Nashville, and that was the first place I ever did stand-up. I was there with Hannibal Buress, Pete Holmes, TJ Miller, and Kamel Nanjiani. That sounds like that's when the Chicago Comedy Festival, Just for a Laugh Chicago, was there. It had been in Vegas for a while. It was Aspen, then it moved to Vegas, then it moved to Chicago for like 3 years. And this time period sounds like when I was at those fests, because I remember seeing TJ Miller and Hannibal in small clubs. So that sounds about right. Nate said, I moved from Nashville to the big city with a friend of mine, but he wasn't doing stand-up. I didn't know anybody in comedy, so I took some classes. It was nice to meet people who were also starting out nervous like I was. Would run around and do shows. Zany's was the first club I worked at. I hosted there. Chicago was awesome. I love Chicago, but I was only there for about 2 years before I moved to New York. Well, for only being here for 2 years, you certainly made a lot of all-star connections. To be in Chicago at the time of Hannibal, Pete, TJ, and Camille is epic. Nate said, we all ended up moving to New York, and I did exactly what Pete did on the show Crashing. I went to Boston Comedy Club, which was a club in New York City, and started handing out flyers and came up in that type of world because of Pete. I remember helping run a room with Dustin Chafin at the Broadway Comedy Club, and I'd get Hannibal in because we're all new comics looking for spots. I loved it. The Interrobang asked when you wound up meeting Jimmy Fallon. Nate said, that was a big one. I moved from New York to LA around 2012, but New York always had these really big New Year's Eve shows, so I always came back for those. I was at the stand with Giannis Pappas and Chris Laker downstairs, and the showroom was like an hour before the show, and Jimmy Fallon popped in. None of us knew him personally, but he hung out and talked to us and then stayed to watch the show. Everyone knew he was there, so every comic was trying to crush it. I remember he left as soon as I got off, so I didn't get to talk to him. Then I got a call later, and he made me an offer to do Late Night with Fallon, and that relationship started building from there. That's pretty cool. Nikki Glazer spoke to Laugh Button about doing drive-ins, and she said it was hard. Once I started talking and grabbed the microphone and started talking, it was easy breezy. Well, I won't say easy breezy. The shows themselves weren't as scary as I had built up, but I had never taken that big a break from stand-up preceding those shows. And you're doing it in a different kind of environment, and the environment was scary as far as remembering my material. I gotta be honest, because I'm not someone who practices even when I need to. In this case, I needed to prepare more, and I wasn't able to do that because my preparation is doing it. And then there was nowhere to do it. There was nowhere to go to clubs to work the stuff out. There were Zoom shows, but even that made me scared, so I was not as prepared as I could have been. The stand-up shows didn't feel to me like stand-up had in the past. I always want to give my best performances because people are paying a lot to see me now, and there's always a lot of pressure to give them the night they're expecting. And so for me to do my best and earn that ticket price, I have to be doing it consistently. From Austinia.com, your home for comedy news, they have confirmed with multiple sources that Joe Rogan is opening up his own comedy club in Austin, Texas. The rumors had been that he was looking at the now-closed Alamo Ritz and the soon-to-reopen Cap City Comedy, but anonymous sources tell Austinia that the new home to Rogan's latest endeavor is the One World Theater. If you're in Austin, 7701 Bee Cave Road, you know, down the road from the other thing. It's a 10-minute drive from Joe Rogan's $14.4 million Westlake Hills mansion. The One World Theater did not respond to numerous calls and messages from Austinia. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Now, a week ago, I was feeling great. I was feeling kind of refreshed. This week, kind of worn down a little bit. I had to go see a bunch of people, been running around. You know, sometimes you just want to sit in the chair and watch some television, right? It could be easy to ignore your social battery. You spread yourself too thin. I kind of did that last week. But like, it was good for me, you know? Yeah, I want to see my friends, but I'm human. So I both want to see my friends, but I also just want to sit in the chair and watch some TV. You know what I'm saying? What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Do you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time? For me this week, it's alone time. Well, therapy can help give you the self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. The design, awesome. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. What you do is you fill out a brief questionnaire. They'll match you with a licensed therapist. And, you know, if for some reason you and the therapist are like, you know, I'm not feeling it, you know, you can switch. No additional charge. You just switch. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Charge those batteries. Hey, did you vote yet for Comedy's Top Dog? This week we're doing sitcoms. It's Seinfeld versus Friends. What you do is you go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. You find the image that has the cover of a Seinfeld DVD and the cover of a Friends DVD. And in the comments, you tell me if you want it to be Seinfeld or Friends. Pretty simple. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. From The Hollywood Reporter, the USC Comedy Festival Volume 5 has announced its full lineup. It stars Bill Hader, Lisa Kudrow, Yami Rusev, A.D. Bryant, Patton Oswalt, and a bunch of others. Events are free and open to the public. This is April 9th through the 11th. This is a partnership with Hulu that will highlight shows such as Shrill, Woke, and Rami. Lisa Kudrow will appear on an April 9th panel titled Can Comedy Be Taught? Bill Hader will appear April 10th at the Oki Masters of Comedy Lecture Series. April 11th is dedicated to panel spotlights on Hulu's Shrill featuring A.D. Bryant, Woke featuring the co-creators, and Adult Animation featuring Patton Oswalt. I'm in on that. That sounds great. From Time Out Dubai, I'm going to have to grab other Glenn, not the first Glenn with the agent. It's other Glenn who does not have an agent, and he's the Glenn that's a friend of mine that I use in bits. Other Glenn and I need to go to Dubai May 13th because it's the Dubai Comedy Festival May 13th all the way to May 22nd. They promise it's going to be, quote, bigger and funnier than ever. They promise sets that will, quote, transcend all cultures, backgrounds, and ages like good comedy should. I agree. No names have been announced yet. We are encouraged to stay tuned to timeoutdubai.com to find out more about the show. So, other Glenn, get ready. We're doing a road trip. Unfortunately, we didn't get to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And believe me, I would like to get to Melbourne, especially if you pay for it. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Like 1,000 times. Australia's expensive. The Age has been reviewing shows. They gave 5 stars to Luke Heggie, that show called Low Breed. It's at the European Beer Cafe until April 18th if you are in Melbourne. And The Age wrote, is there an award for most improved player? Last time I saw Heggie, he was solid. Now he's utterly extraordinary. Wow, that's high praise. The deadpan Sydney stand-up gets straight into it and delivers as many jokes per minute as fellow blue chip performer Reese Nicholson, targeting police, vegan haters, and unisex toilets. This is the future we've all fought for. Heggie is uniquely placed as an anthropological intellectual disguised as a tradie. The stern-faced cheer-jerker stacks up line after line of acerbic gold like a sarcastic symphony. I was spending quality time with my children is the setup for a joke before he starts talking about modern Australia and all its maddening hypocritical glory. I'm reading this and, you know, sometimes English isn't English, and so you tell me what this means. The crowd roars with approval as we take in his Banjo Patterson meets Chopper Reed wisdom. And finally find out who really wins bar fights. A knockout. Sounds fun, although I don't know what Banjo Patterson or Chopper Reed means. Are they people? Are they places? Is it one of each? Who knows? Let's stay in Australia from the SaturdayPaper.com. They wrote about Auntie Donna. That was on my top 10 for 2020. Did you watch Auntie Donna on Netflix? It was terrific. Elizabeth Flux caught up with them and said, the whiteboard is packed with words that don't seem together. T-Rex, bodyguards, exclaims one note. Santa, shouts another. In one section titled costume, there's a checkbox list including togas, suits, white underwear, and blood. Broden Kelly says, ah, we don't need blood anymore. The whiteboard was part of the group preparing to host the Melbourne International Comedy Festival opening night Comedy All-Stars Super Show. Say that 3 times. I did, and I edited out the first 2. That's what the writing on the whiteboard is all about. Originally, they had mapped out a routine of familiar, safe sketches that they knew would work. About an hour before they were due to submit their plan, they read it out and they were like, eh, there's a lack of enthusiasm. No one was excited, no one was interested, so they threw it all out and started from scratch. That is awesome. It's probably going to go badly, but I'm really excited about it. One of the Auntie Donnas said, I don't think 4 or 5 years ago we would have had the confidence to do that. And I feel like we're just in a position now where it's like, you know, we've done good enough and we've garnered enough goodwill that now it's just like, eh, we're just going to do what we want to do. And I really like that. A different Auntie Donna said, this is comedy. Our mantra is whatever's funniest. And that's what led us to this idea of pure joy, pure fun, pure escapism. That just sounds awesome. The trio met while studying acting while in university. They weren't planning on getting into comedy. They wanted to work together. They respected each other as performers. And then they said, eh, if we're going to do comedy, why, and what? What do we love that isn't being done right now? What do we want to see? What are we missing just as fans of comedy? We were not great writers as a group, but we were really strong performers, and we kind of had to find a way to become good writers. And I love this next sentence. So many things that people think are stylistic choices were actually people that didn't know how to write, covering by just like, let's sell it, which reminds me of Monty Python. Monty Python had always said the hardest part of a sketch was figuring out how to end. So they just got rid of the ends. And that's why things just would segue from one sketch to another with animation or like a British general coming in. This is all silly. Enough of that. So I like what the Auntie Donnas are doing here. Another Auntie Donna said, we were drawn to each other because of mutual respect for each other as performers rather than a shared comedic taste, which is pretty rare. We see the strength in our different tastes. They talked about the Netflix show, also called Auntie Donna or Auntie Donna something something. Just Google Auntie Donna Netflix. It'll come up. You should watch it. They play versions of themselves, and they are put into situations that take absurd, impossible to predict turns, one of the Auntie Donnas says. It's an interesting situation to be in as an actor, to be best known as a character who shares your name, who's both you, but isn't you. I think what's interesting is we created those characters when we were 21, 22. So Zach says, for me, the character of Zach was like a distillation of me then, and I guess my worst qualities. But now the time has passed. There's almost a fork in the road at 22 where a character was based on me then and has now grown and evolved. I've grown and evolved. He's almost an alternative reality, a different kind of growth for me. Money-wise, for the first 6 years, they didn't take a cent. but we all believed in it. And we were like, yeah, let's make the personal sacrifices that we have to. It was hard at times. I had two casual jobs and then this, which I would consider a part-time job because we were doing 3 or 4 days a week, just trying to fill every other gap with casual work. We never had to keep shifting what Auntie Donna's finally getting on Channel 7 or whatever it is. We just kept doing what we're doing. Love those guys. You should watch that show. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow this podcast right here that you're listening to right now. If you don't already, you can follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Do me a favor. Tell a friend you like the show. I'm not going to hit you guys up for coffee this week. This week, I want you to tell somebody else, hey, you should follow Daily Comedy News. I really dig that Johnny Mac guy. See you tomorrow.
On the next The Top 11 podcast, we embark on a culinary journey across the globe as we explore the top 11 traditional dishes from around the world. From the comforting moussaka of Greece to the aromatic pho of Vietnam, we discover the dishes that have become synonymous with their countries of origin. We delve into the simplicity and magnificence of Italy's pizza napoletana, the precision and aesthetics of Japan's sushi, and the warmth and welcoming spirit of Canada's poutine. Follow The Top 11 wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.